The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Project Independence and You. We're on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm John Ryan, your host, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Morning,
good
John.
Morning, Otto. I'm glad everybody's got their computers worked out.
Oh, that's a good thing.
I, you know, it's wonderful. Technology is so good. But in the morning, when one thing seems to go wrong, it just throws off the day. But, you know, fortunately, we have Dan in the background saying, do this, push that, and everything works out.
Yeah, but he didn't really help today.
Oh, don't say that. He'll turn us off. Come on. You can say that in 2 hours. Nevertheless, we have with us today Josephine, and I never say it right, Marizada. Am I saying it? I always.
You've done a great job at making an attempt. My last name is pronounced Marizada.
Marizada. And Josephine, I know Josephine for the last couple of years in town in Great Neck. And really the reason she's on her show, on this show, is as an example for what young women should do to make their life better, the life of the community, the life of their family, the life of everybody they touch better. Josephine is that model. And really, there's no praise I can give this woman more than I basically just have. And we're going to talk for the next hour just about what she feels, what she does. You know, Josephine truly lives a life of purpose. And that's the title of today's show. And she did it on her own. Okay, she wanted something, she went working for it, and her resume is just exemplary. But I'm just going to start with saying hello first, and we'll take it from there. Hello, Josephine.
Hi, John. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have the opportunity to be on this incredible show. The truth of what you said is really a reflection of yourself and, you know, how you perceive others. The fact is that I'm someone who has a lot to work on, and every day presents challenges like it does for everyone else. But with everything that we do, meaning and value are the building blocks of, you know, how we foresee the structure of the day.
Perfect. What I want to do, we'll get to the library in a while, which is your most recent accomplishment, but you've been working with legislator Ellen Birnbaum. In the county legislature for X number of years. I don't really know how many. Tell us about your functioning there.
I work as legislator Ellen Birnbaum's legislative aide. And the one thing that I love about the environment that I'm in is that I have the opportunity to give both visibility and voice, not just to Ellen, but to the work that she does and the work that happens in our community. Our office is ultimately a bridge where people come into the office, they have various questions and needs, and we address the issues that they have. There are different topics of concern that people have, we work with like various communities as far as the Chinese community, the Persian community at large. And we try to address their needs ultimately and give them visibility.
The important thing there is when people reach out to Ellen, they don't realize there's a complete support staff behind Ellen, which is very important. And it's not a staff of just people answering the phone. It's people who are knowledgeable of what's going on in the community. So therefore, any direction or guidance you're going to be getting from Josephine is, you know, tremendous. One thing that Josephine and I have talked about this before, and it's I understand it to a degree, 30 years after. Go into that. I mean, like, we're going to jump around, but 30 years after is a tremendous thing. And explain it and sure. How you got involved and everything else about it.
Absolutely. So 30 Years After is an organization that I co-founded. It's an organization designed for first generation in the Iranian American Jews. And the mission of this organization is to get members of our community involved in civic engagement and life while we preserve our culture and heritage. As a first generation Iranian American Jew, I realize that, you know, I stand as the bridge between my parents' generation. My parents fled from Iran as political refugees, as not political refugees, pardon, as refugees and seeking refuge in the United States. And I was born a few years after the revolution. And, you know, ultimately speaking, you know, I grew up in an environment where people spoke Farsi and had a very difficult time separating their cultural identity with their surroundings. And this was something that was a challenge for me. And I wanted to understand what it meant for my parents to leave their homeland, come to the United States, and, you know, build a life independently of whatever had happened in Iran as a result of like various political ramifications.
I'm just going to jump in, Josephine. Where did they actually relocate to? Was it in Great Neck or?
No, they didn't. So most Persians actually first came into Forest Hills in Queens. And from there, over time, they moved to Great Neck because Great Neck was seen as a Jewish community and it was an opportunity for them to build their lives. Not knowing, you know, who I was fully, whether I was Persian or American, I really recognize that I am someone who has a hybrid identity. I'm both Persian, I'm American, and I'm Jewish. And in order to be able to engage in a world that, you know, focuses...
And also, let me throw one other thing in there. Sure. You're a woman, too.
That, too. Yes. That's definitely something significant as well. I have to be able to be a part of all these environments that I belong to. And I recognize that the Iranian American Jewish community is very insular. And the insularity of it, you know, there are beautiful aspects to it because there's a sense of community and identity and culture and heritage, you know, that has been passed down for 2,700 years. But at the same time, you know, we're living in an environment where, you know, people now have rights and they have the ability to express themselves and they can be vocal and having relationships with government officials to secure and harbor these rights are critical, which is what led to the growth of 30 Years After here in New York.
You know, I can very much relate to first generation immigrants because I am a first generation immigrant also. My parents came from Germany in 1928-29. And I recall a lot of things, really. They obviously did not speak English when they came here. I wasn't born yet, but I think it always led to a different feeling to the other kids. Like my father and mother did not go to school meetings because of the language situation. You know, there was always this little feeling that you weren't quite part of the picture. You know, and I think that's hard to understand unless you've been there. You know, whatever background you come from, you know, it's the same problem. You want to fit in, and you see some of the kids around you that they've been here for, you know, forever, and you're kind of working at it, and it takes a long time to get that. And then you have things like, you know, Iran had some bad reputations. Germany didn't do so hot either. And you live with all of that. And as a kid who had nothing to do with any of it, you know, but you do live with it. So anyhow, point being, I can very much relate to and admire what you're doing. I think it's very admirable.
Thank you, Otto. What you said really, really resonates with many of the experiences that I've had for my, I can only speak on behalf of myself. I actually didn't speak English until I had gone to nursery school. I was always the child who was in ESL classes. And I had to, you know, take the time to learn English and acculturate myself, because there was still this fear that my parents had that they had to build this wall where, you know, their only remaining valuables were ultimately their cultural identity and their heritage. Because after leaving a revolution, they had left everything behind and they had to start from scratch. So I understand your sentiment, and as far as being a child and, you know, growing up in an environment that, I mean, for me at least, it was very diverse. I was in Queens for a period of my life before we moved to Great Neck. I too did not feel like I fit in. I didn't know where I belonged. I have this very distinct memory that I'd like to share with you. And I feel like maybe many other people can also resonate with this. Lunches were actually a very important time for me, like when I had lunch with my classmates, because it was my opportunity to sit down, eat, and converse with them. My mother had purchased me a blue G.I. Joe lunchbox. And I guess she didn't understand that this lunchbox was meant to be for boys, and it wasn't it wasn't unisex. So that was one factor as far as, you know, why kids would pick on me during lunch. And my lunches were always very different than everyone else's. My mom would pack me a pita bread sandwich with a Persian cutlet inside of it. And my food always smelled. But, you know, when you look back, you know, I had the prized meal. It's the lunch that everyone wants to have. And because I wanted to fit in so badly, I would actually throw out my lunch and pretend I had lost it, and stand on the hot on the line for hot lunches and get a lunch so that I could fit in with everyone else and interact with them and talk to them. So food is actually a very important thing because it brings people together.
You know, go ahead, Otto, you go.
No, it's great to hear you say all these things, because I think it relates to most people who are in the category. Like my parents, when I was a kid, I spoke German when I was little. You know, I can't speak it now, but I could then. You know, but I was born in Brooklyn. You know, it wasn't like I was in an area that wasn't diverse. It was pretty diverse. And I went to Franklin K. Lane High School, which
I don't. I'm going to put you on hold because I want to keep this whole flow going, but we have to take a break and then we're going to come back to you, Otto. So you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.